This week in Your Parents' Basement, after playing the best last week, we're playing some of the rest this week. From 1994, we're playing Bebe's Kids for the Super Nintendo by Radical Entertainment. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that always thinks women be shopping. It's Huell Hauser.
Please observe the rules while in Fun World.
And our other co-host, he watched the movie because he's a true professional. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, you sprung a leak, cuz...
Oh boy, is that a dialogue from the movie?
Sure is.
Can't imagine where that's going.
I'm laughing already. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's show is sponsored by Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. Why have that lush, wonderful, and tasty Blue Apron dinner? Instead, just spend 75 cents on our box of radioactive orange pasta goop. You'll be happy that you did. Today's game is Bebe's Kids from 1994. As mentioned by a previous guest, friend of the show, and emailer, Hawk, Bebe's Kids holds the glorious distinction of being the only game to receive a zero from the reviewers at Nintendo Power, who weren't exactly known for being sticklers when it came to scores. I had heard for years how awful this game was, and I played it for the first time this week. And hey, it's awful. Huell, what are your thoughts about this one?
Awful is a word you could use. Now, when I think of awful games, it's hard to really put it to words, but I don't think this one is as bad as people say. Like, it's not like the worst of all time. It's really bad, don't get me wrong. But it's just like unnecessarily difficult and pointless is probably how I would describe it. It's just really dumb. It's a side-scrolling action beat 'em up where it takes about 4 minutes to beat up one enemy. So it's not really a fast-paced game. You can throw balls sometimes. It's just confusing, and it's the most confusing side scroller I've probably ever played, because usually in a side scroller you just go left or right, but in this one they just don't let you.
Well, this is like a Final Fight type game.
Yeah,
this is pretty much Final Fight too, the real Final Fight.
This is Bebe's Final Fight.
Yeah, where the plot of this game. Is that you're two? You can choose between being
deep,
a boy or a girl.
Deep,
delinquent.
Deep, deep plot.
The deep, deep story-driven game.
Yeah, it starts off where you select your gender. You gender identify right off the top.
There's so no it's a very other option. There's only
it's a very progressive
the boy and the
game.
Girl.
Right.
And you go to an amusement park. That's where the entire game takes place. Is in an amusement park called Fun World, and all you do is beat the crap out of the workers there. The
yes.
Fun World employees.
You just terrorize them.
Yeah. You knock the wigs off of them.
Well, mouse masks and sunglasses, but
yeah.
Basically wigs.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. Huell, you mentioned you can throw a ball, but that's only if you hold L and R and press like the B button or something.
Yeah, like for some reason, you press the jump button along with the special button in order to throw a ball.
Which L and R, I don't think, do anything on their own, so it's confusing.
No.
Yeah,
why?
Huell, did you read the manual before playing this game?
I found the manual for this game to be impossible to find. So I ended up looking at game FAQs, game facts, and there was, there was one game fact written for this game.
Yeah.
And there's a section of it called, I can't beat the first level, what is wrong? And that basically lets you know what the controls are in order to actually defeat the enemies within the time limit. Because otherwise, you'll never beat the first level. Because the enemies have to take so many like normal attacks just to die.
Yeah, it's more. It's they, like between 30 yeah. and 40 punches.
Yeah, and like punches from this are slow. From this tiny child. So you have to use these special like uppercut and jump spins in order to actually defeat them within the time limit. So that's where I actually found out you could do the special moves.
Yeah, if you do use the uppercuts, it takes them out in 3 hits, which is much yeah. more reasonable for this.
A lot kind of game. More reasonable.
Yeah. But speaking of that GameFAQs review, I had this little snippet here that I read in
the actual FAQ, the guide.
The FAQ.
Yeah, this is a really good, funny FAQ.
It's written in 2001 by some fella named Future Trunks.
2002, or updated 2002 in 2002. 2002
is the last update. Okay. And in the Q&A section of that
yes.
game fact,
he wrote... There's an FAQ within the FAQ.
Yeah. Why would you make an FAQ for this game? Answer, simple. No one else has. And yeah. and I thank him for that. If not for this one document on the internet,
yes.
I would not have been able to beat the first stage of this game.
Absolutely. Without this 15-year-old FAQ, and without a manual that I couldn't find anywhere... this would have been a much worse experience on top of the already awful experience I had in the first place. Mm-hmm. Steve, did you find the controls for this?
Oh, so here's the thing. I died from the time limit.
Right, exactly.
Like I beat, I think it was 3 enemies and then I died.
There's so many more.
So then I looked up the FAQ for the special moves, which like, it's just, like, why? Why did they do that? Like,
right.
like, there's no real point to it. Like, I don't think the L and R button do anything. And I think even one of the normal buttons doesn't do anything. Like, X, I think, doesn't do anything. And then it's like, well, why do you need to hold L and R and hit B to throw things and, like, do uppercuts?
Or to make, like, the only useful attack? Like, yeah. Why not just make that the regular attack? There's no reason to have normal punches and kicks because... it takes so many to kill anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to get anywhere without the time running out is to do the special move. So why not just make that the regular move?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely ridiculous.
Well, it feels... this entire game feels like a game they just shoved into a box because it was done. And they didn't really play test it. And like, we'll get into the fact that... that like this movie didn't make any money. Like the movie came out in 1992. It made $7 million on a $10 million budget, and I doubt anyone was like, man, remember that movie Baby's Kids from 2 years ago? Let's buy that game. Let's get that one.
I mean, that's a great question. Like, what was the reason this was licensed into a game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this wasn't a... like, I remember the movie just because the name was so stupid. But, like, I never saw it. Like, no one watched it as a kid.
This is my first experience with this series.
This franchise. The Baby's Kid franchise.
Yeah, first experiences this week. I've only seen it and heard it. Because whenever I'm looking at a list of... I just look at the list of Super Nintendo games trying to see, have I played it or not played it? And it's, since they're usually alphabetical, it's up towards the top, and I always skim by it because, like, what the hell? Is this that stupid movie from 20 years ago? No thanks.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I remember the movie existing, and, like, I don't remember it being, like, a huge deal. So, like, whose idea was it to make a game? Whose idea was it to make a game in 2 weeks?
What I'm thinking is that they started production on this game while the movie was in production, but then the movie was released, the game wasn't finished yet, so they just shelved it. The game came out two or three years after the movie.
Yeah, so
they just shelved it and said, you know, this is a crap game. Let's just leave it. But then somebody was looking through their archives and said, oh, we still have this game here. Let's just push this out the door without doing any play testing or anything. Just kick it on out the door.
Yeah,
and the company that did that was Motown Software Publishing, Motown right. Games.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. A spinoff of the Motown music label.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a match made in heaven right there.
They were responsible for publishing African-American-oriented video games during the 1990s. Only two games were released from this development company, and both received negative criticism.
Well, that's just the man trying to hold him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like this kind of thing happened more often in the NES and Super Nintendo era, where some games would get, you know, done 50, 75, 80%. And then just companies would sit on them because they realized, oh, well, this won't make us any money. Then every once in a while, they would sometimes release them at a much later date for no real good reason. Like, I don't know, that especially the end of the NES era. Now, all those games inexplicably are worth like $500, like a Flintstones game and, you know, that kind of stuff. So this feels like one of those games.
Yeah, it's always curious that when a game based off of a movie comes out over 2 years after the movie does.
Yes.
Like, what is the reasoning? It's
well, it might
like
be,
unless it's like a huge movie,
the home video sales is what they might be counting on.
Really? I guess that's a stretch. Especially like you said, what the movie cost 10 and made 7.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean, it may have had a decent life at rental stores just because it was an animated film, and it's, you know, those do tend to do well on the rental market.
And Hugh, let's not judge here, but it does have its audience.
What does that mean?
You know, people
that like little kids running around amusement.
That like little kids, yeah.
Oh boy. That went. It was going one way and it went another.
It went into a different dark alley. So we should just move along though. So where's Baby's Kids now?
The question on everybody's mind.
Yes, yes. This is disheartening because it's an awful game. But according to price charting, loose carts of Baby's Kids go for $17. The box and manual included go for $80 for this turd.
That's got to be because it's a collector's item for being on the worst game of all time list.
I think it's partly that, and partly, you know, I don't think this sold in great numbers. So,
yeah, that is part of the FAQ within the FAQ that they say that it's very rare and not much is known about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they just say it's made by Motown Games and published by Mandingo. In December of 1993.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if something is good and rare, it tends to be well over $100. Like, Suikoden 2, mm-hmm. or Suikoden 2 for the PlayStation is $121. So,
seems worth it.
Hey, I got a copy on eBay. If anyone listening wants it, you can find it there. I will sell it to you for $121, but
that's more than the 108 stars.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's, you know, it's normally if a game is good and rare, then yeah, you're talking about well over 100. But even if it's a steaming turd and it's rare, like Baby's Kids, apparently it's still $80 if you get the box and manual and everything for it.
High demand.
Mm-hmm. And just a little bit about the developer, Radical Entertainment. They are actually still around. They mostly did work on ports in the 1990s and bad license games like this one.
They have a lot of cartoon games.
Mm-hmm. They're, I believe their only significant IP of their own is something called Prototype, which I vaguely recall being a PS3 series. I think PS3 series.
It was also on the 360. I actually played the first one. It's not bad.
Okay. Yep. They released those games in 2009 and 2012, the second of which kind of sunk the company.
Mm.
They now work as a supporting developer for other companies. I believe they had a hand or did some work on a little game called Destiny. So may have heard of that one.
Yeah, Prototype kind of flew under the radar. I thought it was decent.
Well, apparently Prototype 2 did not hit their sales projections and kind of did not go so well for them.
Yeah, I can see that. They thought the sequel might be a hit, and then and no one cared.
it's hard to be like a mid-tier action game now. So
yeah, it definitely
so
was
many,
just
so much competition.
Mid-tier. Yeah,
and that was in 2009 when everything was a dark, brooding action game.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, that's all I have to say about Radical Entertainment. I don't know.
Well, I have something else to say about Motown Publishing.
Please.
Yeah.
They published their other game they published before retiring from this market is Rap Jam Volume 1.
Oh.
It's a basketball video game. Basketball video game for the Super Nintendo in which the players are rap and hip-hop artists. The game is played on an urban basketball court with fisticuffs and no foul calls. There's an exhibition mode and a tournament mode. The game was released in January 1995. Despite the Volume 1 moniker, this was the only installment released.
They got
my favorite line on their page.
They got way ahead of themselves. That is ballsy.
So if you ever wanted to be Queen Latifah in a video game, this is your chance.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Well, now this is going on the list.
Yeah, have I ever.
Was it Rap Jam Volume 1?
Yeah.
Rap Jam. Now I'm looking to see.
This might have to be just a personal play for myself. Because ever since I saw Bringing Down the House, I've always imagined wanting to play Queen Latifah in a video game.
I mean, you do wear the wig at night and the dress.
Right.
But that only goes so far.
Usually, as soon as we're done these recordings, the wig goes on.
Wow, Rap Jam isn't even on price charting.
Did you type Rap Jam Volume 1?
I tried both, Rap Jam and Rap
two,
Jam
it's
Volume
It's two words, by the way.
Yeah. Let me try one word. Maybe it's...
Try four.
Rap Pajama.
Rap-a-j-a-m.
No, it's not. It's not coming up.
What was it for? SNES.
Super SNES.
Yeah. Oh, Super SNES. Interesting.
Yeah, you can play as Naughty by Nature, Warren G.
Ooh.
Flava Flav. Coolio.
What was this? 95.
Yeah, January 1995.
Amazing.
I mean, it does sound kind of cool now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, but I mean, we're just talking about it. We haven't seen any gameplay yet.
We're seeing not 1 second or one frame of this.
Mm-hmm. We're pitchmen. We're not. We don't put it to work. We do ideas.
Hype men.
Hype men. Yeah.
Hype men. Well, I wish we played that instead.
Well,
we should move on though. Huel, I believe you have a segment. Okay.
Yes, I do. We should probably move on. I've got some reasons why this is the most worst game of all time.
Oh,
okay.
And of course, we've gone through a lot of them, but I found there's many reviews that seem to point out that are more than eager to point out that this is an awful game. So I picked one from Game FAQs, and they say another bad SNES game, and it's based on a movie. Baby's Kids is a movie released back in 1992 when I was six. It's about three kids who are so bad people refuse to deal with them. I really don't care for the movie, and it wasn't successful. Motown Games released this back in 1992, 93, and it's just another bad game, in quotes, for the SNES. Some movies just shouldn't be video games, and Baby's Kids is one of those movies that shouldn't have a video game. So very straightforward. They give the story 1 out of 10. Where should we begin? Bebe's kids is taken to an amusement park. That was not a typo. Sorry. That was not me. Bebe's kids is taken to an amusement park, and they got lost and start acting naughty. There is really no story. Story gets a 1 out of 10. Sound or music? The music in this game is very repetitive. It's basically kiddie rap music and does the same tune loops every 30 seconds. The punching and groaning sounds are annoying, too. Sound music gets 1 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Here's where things start looking up. Graphics. The graphics are not that bad, but they aren't good either. At least the characters are detailed. But the enemies and backgrounds are annoying to look at. Graphics gets a 3 out of 10. Control. Evil. It is so hard to control those doggone brats. The buttons are so unresponsive, and most of the time it's hard to get these kids to walk and jump. Not only that, the two little brats move slowly. There's also a special attack, but it's hard to pull. Not pull off, but pull. Control gets a 1 out of 10. So they said there were 6 in 1992 when they wrote this, and they were 20 years old when writing this review. This seems like a very odd 20-year-old. They go on to say that it's a hard game and that it's not fun, that kind of stuff. So to wrap up in conclusion, it's another bad game, in quotes, based off a movie. The movie wasn't good, and I knew this game, in quotes, wasn't going to be good either. Don't waste your time on this game, in quotes. Steer clear of this game, in quotes, at all costs. Point 5. Unplayable. So they like the graphics.
Well, you know, they can't all be winners, not all of these games.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think this Super Mario and Sonic fan 1986 has detailed out very specifically.
Is that
specifically.
His whole name? Is Super,
yes.
Super Mario and Sonic fan 1986.
All one word. Yes.
Wow. He knows what he likes.
It is not Bebe's Kids fan 1986. No, that is for sure. That could not be more obvious.
Opposite of Bebe's Kid fan
1986.
Oh man, I hope that name isn't taken. I don't want to.
Bebe's Kids fan 1986.
Any of those names are all solid.
Oh my god.
I gotta say that was an interesting take.
I'm surprised to say they gave. Sorry. They gave Biker Mice from Mars 5 stars.
Oh.
Well, that's a much more realistic plot.
Rounded,
game.
Yeah, rounded, more rounded game.
That is a deep story-driven game. Some call it the documentary of games.
Mm-hmm. 5 out of 5. Flawless.
Yeah.
I think Errol Morris had a hand in that Biker Mice game too.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Harley Davidson himself was a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was an interesting take, but I have a reason here why this Bebe's Kids for the Super Nintendo is the most best game of all time.
Oh my. And this is uncalled for.
This review is titled Hot Find 3 exclamation marks, and it's by Lady Diva Dion, and she writes, very, very, sorry, it's capitalized, very happy to get this rare game featuring Robin Harris, RIP, he died before his time, no doubt, my adult children still has their old gaming system and enjoy older games, 5 stars.
Wow.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. I mean, that's all you need.
Oh, was this bought as a gift, or did they actually play it?
It probably was bought as a gift, but you know, she probably relayed what her adult children said about it when they played it on their old gaming system.
Right. I mean, if there's anyone that I want to hear video game opinions from, it's adult children.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we all adult children?
None of us on this podcast, that's for sure.
That's a good point.
Hey, I'm an adult child, and I still have my old gaming system.
That's why we can give opinions. We are adult children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and by the way, guys, this week I being new to this franchise, this Bebe Kid franchise, I watched the movie because I never done saw it before. And I had
and
to
you're
watch it.
You're a completionist.
I mean, completionist.
It's like,
I needed to know the backstory before getting into this masterpiece.
It's like reading the book before seeing the movie.
Exactly. I don't want the game to spoil the movie for me, so I got to watch the movie first. Actually, the first thing I did was watch some Robin Harris stand-up routine.
Oh,
about this first.
Look how deep Teeb goes.
Yeah.
The dedication.
Yeah.
Deep dive.
Deep, deep, deep.
How did you enjoy his comic stylings?
Oh, you know, it's not my style.
And
the movie was pretty bad. It's actually very depressing.
Really?
I mean, if you can't tell by this game, the movie is about three delinquent children that have a mom that is some kind of streetwalker that abandons them during the day, and she has the streetwalking whore named Bebe. Has one of her friends that's sympathetic to her watch her kids for her. And so this is about Robin Harris trying to make time with this lady, and she says she has to bring Bebe's kids with her to the amusement fun world. And those kids just cause trouble. They're so troubled. They don't have a father figure. And then the worst part about this movie, why it's so depressing, is at the end of the movie, they take the kids back home to Bebe's apartment, but they don't have any food and Bebe isn't there. She left a note that said, "Hey, I'm hitting the town again. Can you watch the kids some more?" The kids don't have food. They're all sad looking. So it's very, oh my God, a very depressing movie.
It's a very realistic, not quite fantasy world that this movie lives in.
But Robin Harris did buy them a pizza at the end of the movie. So,
that should last them a few days.
So my personal review of the movie is, you know, it's kind of crap. Don't watch it. It's a little history nugget of its time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many other movies to watch. But there is a reason why that is the most best movie of all time.
Oh my.
And this review is written by somebody named A.F. Miller, and they write, "Cultural classic. I didn't realize how much I missed this movie until I watched it with my son. My mom came in and saw my son and I watching it, and she smiled and was like, 'Wow, oh my God,' she just lit up. Y'all need to take the monopoly that y'all have on this video and wipe y'all behinds with it. Furfur," whatever that means. "Shame, shame y'all holding such an expression of our culture ransom like that. 5 stars.
What? Who's holding it ransom? What's going on?
I think that A.F. Miller was watching this movie. He was bogarting the TV watching this movie so much, and his mom was like, "Hey, I want a piece of that Bebe Kid action. Let's rewind this VHS and start over so that I can watch it with you."
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure that's the only possible solution to that one.
That's one of the most confusing reviews I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Even more depressing about this movie, by the way, is so it's based on a comedy routine by Robin Harris. He died in March 1990. And they still went ahead with this movie.
Yeah, so they were going to make it into a... What I read doing my research is they were going to make this into a live-action movie based on his world-famous stand-up act about Bebe's kids.
Of course.
But since he died, they put it on the shelf. They said, "Let's not make this movie." But then some guy said, "Hey, we still have the license to this act. Let's just make a cartoon."
Mm-hmm. And they cast...
We can draw Robin Harris into it.
Yeah. They cast a sound like Faison Love.
Faison.
Listen, I don't know. I don't do pronunciation.
Oh, right. That's Todd's category.
Yeah, we should know that from now. From 100 past shows.
Hey, guys, this is show 101. It's Bebe's Kids.
101, Bebe's Kids. Get ready, everybody.
Phazion Love has been in like 20 different things, and I could not tell you. Like, I don't remember any of these characters. Except LP played the Gimbal's manager.
Oh. Of course.
So that's the only thing I know him from.
So the guy in the movie is trying to get with a prostitute with children?
No, he's getting with a lady that has one child, but this lady has a friend that is a prostitute and has three kids. So she's watching all four kids. And the guy, Robin Harris, in the movie is trying to make time with this one lady that has the one kid.
Then how do the three kids get involved?
Because the lady he's trying to make his time with is babysitting them. So they have to come along to Fun World.
Gotcha. I'm sort of understanding. Ooh, it's PG-13 for mature content.
Yeah, that's what I like is it is PG-13, and it's about divorced people, poor, depressing kids, and this guy that's, like, molesting women in a theme park. And every review I've read said, oh, my kids and I love watching this little romp.
Maybe it's kids. Children living in squalor.
This is a shining example of our culture. Let's watch it with the kids.
Oh, boy. 70 minutes. That is that's quite the runtime.
At least it's
a nice quick one.
Yeah. It's like an episode of Fargo. Just as good, probably.
Your mama's so old, she older than your grandmama. That is a line of the film.
That doesn't even make sense.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Todd, did you have anything else you want to say about Bebe's Kids?
I found the rules of the game. And I'll send you guys a link so you can read along. The rules of the game for Bebe's Kids, when you're playing it, you got to be careful, because when you're in the theme park, the rules are no vibes, no Beavis, no Beavis, no vibes, no Beavis, no Beavis, no vibes, no Beavis, no Beavis, no Beavis, no vibes, and no Beavis.
I did notice that. It was confusing, to say the least.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
No Beavis.
What does it not mean?
Oh, wow, man.
Ooh.
My mind is blown.
No vibes, no Beavis.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, and my last thing is that I did play this game, legitimately tried to beat it, and I could not beat the haunted house.
Yeah, that was pointed out in the FAQ, that it's like the hardest thing of all time.
It's a maze, and you have to follow this thermometer to get warmer to the exit, and I ran out of time. I couldn't beat it. And then after two attempts, I was like, that's enough of that. I'll just watch a speed run.
Awful.
Oh, and the boss of this game, by the way, the boss of this game is an animatronic pirate.
Oh.
Is that in the movie at all?
It is. There's one scene in the movie where the kids are like held hostage by some animatronic Abraham Lincoln.
Naturally. But not a pirate.
Of course.
Well, there might have been a pirate in there. There was other animatronics in there. But I guess they're like, hey, we need some villain from this movie. Okay, well, the true villain is themselves. They are the villain.
Villain is this mom.
Bebe is the, what do they call it?
I don't know.
I can't think of the word.
I don't know where you're going.
Oh, no.
A cock in skater shoes?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She actually doesn't even appear in the movie, so
What?
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Like a MacGuffin or like
MacGuffin,
a...
MacGuffin. There you go. That's what I was trying to think of.
Or a Mrs. Peterson, Norm's wife. You never actually see her.
Yeah.
So.
Bebe is the MacGuffin in this movie. So the real enemy is themselves, their own souls. They have to look deep inside themselves. So they had to pull something else from the movie to actually punch, and they chose robots.
Well, good times. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about movie, game, or life? Just anything?
Throwing balls is fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's words to live by.
All right, then. Let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
No, I didn't. I read my last email, show 100, and I haven't received any since then. So, you know, no feedback yet on show 100, which is surprising.
Yeah,
because that was not quite a spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Too busy watching Baby's Kids to check the email.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, people are out there living their lives. We shouldn't expect anything from them.
No, I never do.
Yeah. What about you, Huel? Did you receive any mails?
Well, in a way. So I didn't receive any actual... I didn't receive any actual emails. Mm. But I was hanging out with my Wiccan friends this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And, We were settling down for a nice Ouija sesh. So we were sitting around, and I got this message spelled out over, I'd say, about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So what I got was, heaven sucks, no internet, can't listen to YPB, Jesus is pretty chill, though, can't wait till Huel gets here. Also, what is the best ghost in a video game? SB42. And that was the end of the message. So I don't know what this could possibly mean, but at least there was a question about video games.
I know, thank God.
Yeah.
Tired of getting no questions.
So yeah, I'm glad we had that Ouija sesh.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts? So
best ghost in a video game.
Well, Boo is the obvious answer from the Mario series.
Of course, jumps right to the front of the brain there.
Mm-hmm.
Old Boo has a few appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Even has a cart or two.
Mm-hmm. The other big one would be the Pac-Man ghost, Blinky, ooh. Pinky, Inky, and Stinky.
And the Santa Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking...
Those are some classics.
I was thinking I think there's a ghost in Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Like that first stage.
Ghost, isn't the it? Enemies?
No, I thought like the level, the boss of the first stage is like a ghost, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
If not, then I'm just going to say Blinky, but...
Not Inky or Pinky.
No, definitely.
Specifically Blinky.
Yes, yes.
Huh. Okay,
I'm looking online. They also mentioned the pose from the Legend of Zelda.
Yeah,
Zelda
those
theory.
Are good.
Mm-hmm.
Wisp.
Those are always fun.
Wisp.
What is
from
Wisp?
Animal Crossing.
Oh.
Chozo Ghost from Metroid.
Oh right. There's a big theme where like ghosts tell you like secrets and story points in games. That seems to come up a lot. It's like, I'm dead, but I'm going to help you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I used to be alive. Here's my wisdom.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also Gengar from Pokemon.
Oh, a ghost type.
Yes.
Pokemon. And one
little,
that
little indie joint.
Little indie joint called Pokemans.
Mm-hmm.
A game jumped to my brain, which was Eternal Darkness from the GameCube.
Oh.
That was a good, fun horror game.
I've heard of that series, but never that game, but I've never played it.
It makes a lot of cult classic lists, one of those kind of games.
Yeah.
Where everyone who's cool has played it and talks about it. And you're not cool unless you know what this game is, man.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah.
Well, I'm glad we could put that spirit to rest.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I received one mail. Hey guys, I loved the show last week. It made me have one ask though. Why hasn't Todd hosted the show? Also, what's a game you would like to cover on your parents' basement, but you probably won't because it's kind of impractical? Best wishes, Cheryl M. Meeks.
Oh, Cheryl.
Yeah. I mean, Easter's right around the corner. Maybe she was thinking about gifts for us.
True. Impractical.
That's kind of strange. I don't know. How is a game impractical? Like, I had a thought that, you know, World of Warcraft would be one we would never cover just because.
Right.
It's just a massive game. And it is one of the best games of all time. But there's just so much there that they need to invest hours of your time enjoying to get something out of it. So
yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like super, kind of super long games is probably a good.
That's what my mind went to, was like really long games, like Lunar, which I find to be a fun game.
Yeah, it's a good one, but there's probably little chance we'll cover it unless we do it as kind of a potpourri episode.
And it's kind of a unique RPG that's very self-referential and meta at various points in, you know, the 1990s when that wasn't going on as much in games. But it's also like, well, it's, you know, they made like 50 copies of it, and you could only get it if you drove to like a Walmart in North Dakota. And also, it's like 70 hours to get through. So it's like, well, no, I'm really not going to replay that one for your parents' basement. So
I feel like any RPG kind of fits this. Fits this category. No, I just mean for being too long and complicated. I mean, we did Chrono Trigger, and I had to devote like a week of playing.
Did we?
Just to get anywhere. Secret of Mana.
We did Secret of Mana. RPGs.
Secret of Mana. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they're like the same game in my head.
Mana is a little different because that's when you can pop in after, you know, like 30 minutes. You can get a hold of what's going on.
Yeah.
But like,
it's less about stuff. The story, deep story driven emotional connection in that game as it is compared to other RPGs.
I see.
Like no, Earthbound. Earthbound's one where I think that Steege and I could talk Earthbound, but Huel would just be there not interested.
Well, I'm just too blown away by how meta it is, and it's like so like cool and self-referential that like I just don't understand it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, hey man, you should just do this, and then
they're like, "Hey, man, we're like, I'm like you, and I'm out here, and you're in there, man.
Whoa.
Video TVs, man,
man." But maybe one that would be impractical, not one, but like an arcade game that's like peripheral heavy, because it'd be like hard to find or access.
Oh yeah, I actually have a Time Crisis 2.
Right.
In Time Crisis 3.
How about mocap boxing?
Mocap boxing?
What is that?
That's the one where it has little sensors and you actually dodge the punches.
Oh, wow.
And you throw the punches yourself.
I don't know if this misses the cutoff, but like Silent Scope, the one with the big sniper rifle that you look into.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't really cover that one. Mm. Plus, it's like short. There's not much to talk about. You're just shooting stuff.
Poof.
Pew, pew.
Well.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah. On that note, Todd. Did you have any asks this week?
I do have an ask. I do have an ask.
Ooh.
So, let us ask the sweet boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And we got in an ask that is kind of appropriate given the theme, the franchise we're covering this week, Bebe's Kids.
Mm. Oh.
They write, which name do you think is the most beautiful?
Oh.
Number one, Lola Violet. Number two, Camille Renee. Camille Renee.
Camille.
Number three, Odette Laetitia. Mm-hmm. Number four, Bryony Autumn. Number five, Georgie Christine.
Okay.
Can you spell that Bryony one?
Bryony is Bryony. So it's like Bryony.
Bryony?
Bryony? Bryony. That's the first name. Middle name, Autumn. Bryony Autumn.
Okay. Are those my only options?
Those are the options. That was written by some lady named Doris.
Oh, not anonymous.
Not anonymous.
Wow.
Oh.
I'm going for Odette Laetitia.
Ooh, that was one of my choices. I like that Odette. It's got a classical feel to it.
Odette. Better than Bryony, I would have to say.
I think she should go with Todd Jr. after the daddy. But the second choice for me would be Lola Violet.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
That's probably my number
beautiful.
Two.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Georgie Christine, but let's keep it short and just call her George Chris.
Mm-hmm. G Chris. I would go with G Chris.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If she went with George Chris, she could open up a rival steakhouse to Ruth Chris.
Ah, George's Chris's.
George's Chris.
She could open her own Ruth's Chris's and call it George's Chris's Ruth's Steakhouse. Ruth's Chris's Steakhouse.
You got it? You sure? You sure about that?
I mean, it is a catchy George name. That's what, when people are thumbing through the yellow pages looking for a steak. What do we got here? Texas Roadhouse? What is that? Nah. Here we go. George's Chris's Ruth's Chris's Steakhouse. Excellent choice.
When I think steak, I think, how many names can I fit in there? The more names, the better.
Mm.
Okay. Exactly.
That's, yeah. Can't argue with that. Oh, jeez. Woo! Fun time.
Woo!
Well, I'm glad we helped out this writer.
Yes.
This asker.
Yeah, I think we helped a lot of people. especially her. So, pat on the back for us. Ten more minutes of Baby's Kids before going to bed. It's our reward.
Of course. Trying to beat that pirate.
Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Yeah, of course. You know, we don't die, we multiply, we baby kids.
It's true.
Yeah. What about you there, Huel?
Since I couldn't find the manual, I'll just pull a quote from this glorious FAQ. So just remember, just keep going, and you'll do fine.
Yeah, that's
inspirational.
Good words of wisdom for life, but not really for this game, since you just hit a brick wall and then get the crap beat out of you by a guy in a mouse suit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyways, I don't mean to end on such a dour note, so let's end with something spiritual and uplifting, a little snifferoo from next week's game.
I'm not the Messiah! I say you are Lord, and I should know. I followed a few.
Hail Messiah!
I'm not the Messiah! Will you please listen? I am not the Messiah, do you understand? Honestly!
Only the true Messiah.